Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Recently, the South Dakota Department of Tourism received a marketing award at a national tourism conference in Austin, Texas. The Great Places, Great Faces campaign received the Mercury Award for Printed Collateral at the conference's yearly award ceremony. Jim Hagen is South Dakota's Secretary of the Department of Tourism, and he's with us today in the Kirby Family Studio to talk about that and so much more. Hey, Jim, welcome back.
Hey, Lori, I love your new digs. This
Thank
is my second
you.
Time here, and oh man, what a great studio.
Here in Fantastic. The SDPB Sioux Falls Studios, and you can look out and you can see the beautiful Falls Park as the city is transitioning.
So inspiring. Yeah, you can see the growth, right? Happening right outside. It's spectacular.
There's our come to Southeast South Dakota.
That's
and
right.
Visit the Falls area because it's changing.
That's right.
The
and
time.
Come see these studios. They're fantastic.
Stop by
yeah.
And say hello. Levitt Center or the Levitt Shell right across.
Yeah.
Yeah. Things are changing fast.
Fantastic.
So, Jim, when we talk about a marketing award for some people, oh, ho hum, but this is not ho hum because it's that Great Faces, Great Places campaign with translates directly into people in the state and dollars in the pockets.
Absolutely. Yeah. The Mercury Awards are huge. You might want to call them the Oscars if you want of tourism marketing. So I think over the last 6 years, we've picked up, this was our third Mercury Award. So this year for best print collateral in all the country. And we were also one of three finalists for best integrated campaign in the country against some really stiff competition. So those are huge honors just to make it to the final three nationwide. But our print was absolutely spectacular today, and the strategy behind our print and the audiences that we were targeting, when they were throwing up our print examples on the huge jumbo screens, it just looked spectacular. In fact, people were stopping me and saying, "Oh, it's beautiful! I got to go to South Dakota. That's an honest to God story." So, it was really a proud moment for not only me and the team, but for the entire state.
So you get to work with some great designers and some great idea generators and people who really put the stuff together. But you've got South Dakota as the materials.
Exactly.
So in some ways, it's like, well, you got a lot to work with here, guys.
Right. It's, as I say, not a bad product.
Yeah.
So we are so blessed in that regard. And it doesn't matter which corner of the state you go to, you will find gems. And we feature them all, especially in our print. And they just look spectacular. We're using what's called a double exposure photography creative, and no other state was doing it. Probably about 2 years ago, we went through lots of magazines looking at different print that other states and cities were using. And honestly, Lori, everything looked the same.
Right.
You couldn't tell Wyoming from Colorado, from Montana, from North Dakota. And we said, let's do something different to make us stand out, to showcase our beauty, but use this double exposure photography. And boy, it's stunning, and I guess the judges agreed too.
Explain to people what that double exposure photography is.
We can take a picture of, say, a buffalo head, and we merge it into a landscape, so it's just seamless. Or we can take the Badlands and seamlessly meld it into a picture of a National Park Service ranger. It really is, unless you see it, you can't really appreciate it, but it was something unique and totally different, and nobody else was doing it, and that's what we wanted. We wanted to stand out from the competition. So when people were turning those pages, they'd say, "Oh, wow, this is different. This is South Dakota." And we went to a number of focus groups and tested it, and without fail, they were going through page after page of different magazine print ads, and they always stopped and pulled that one out as one of their favorites. So, and you know, we probably have, I don't even know, 20 different variations of things we could, it's endless what we could feature, but so just at the end of the day, it's such a proud moment for us because we really worked hard on that, but we work hard on all the elements, creative elements.
Right. As I looked at some of the images, they just seemed to reveal a little bit, they rewarded spending some time with it. There was a payoff for the viewer to say, now I saw something that I didn't already see, not in a mysterious way, but just in a, oh.
Right.
Which is South Dakota, right?
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, the great thing is we don't have to, like you said earlier, we don't have to make up anything. We've got this great product, and you know, we don't have to Photoshop stuff. We don't have to pretend, and we don't want to. For those consumers out there, those potential visitors, We have this amazing canvas that has been painted, you know, over years and years, especially our outside, our great outdoors in South Dakota, but not only that, but other attractions as well. So you don't have to, you know, we don't have to fake anything.
Right.
It's all real, and it's spectacular.
And those great faces might be, you know, a Lakota dancer at a powwow.
Absolutely.
It can be. It's more than Mount Rushmore is what I'm getting at.
Yeah. And that's one thing we stress. Every citizen of this state is a great face. Everybody's an ambassador for us. You know, whether you're on Pine Ridge, you're up in Sisseton, you're down in Yankton, Elcester, Hudson, it doesn't matter. Everybody is an ambassador for the state. We're all the great faces, showcasing our great places to all of our visitors. And so it just, I love that tagline. We've had it, you know, for almost 30 years, but it's, you know, and I don't know if there are many other states that haven't changed their tagline through the years. We've kept it, and it just works for us. It fits us.
Right. Tell me a little bit about how the season has been, because I was out in Custer this weekend walking around. They did not look like they were slowing down.
No.
You know, I still couldn't get into the burger and bun. the museum, you know, had people. There was all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about, a numbers perspective, how was our season?
Thank you, Laurie. It's such a great question. So it has been such an interesting summer. Jekyll and Hyde, almost Hyde-ish, I should say. So we started off late spring, around May 22nd, 23rd, we're getting 2.5 feet of snow in the Black Hills.
Right.
And that's really not how you want to start your season, because you've dug a hole and you're trying to get yourself out of that hole. You layer on top of that just a crazy, unruly weather pattern this entire summer. Rains, the governor has said, this is the biggest natural disaster that South Dakota has faced in its history this summer, with all of the flooding that we've had. Another headwind on top of that is the agriculture economy. Our farm and ranch family is really suffering. And so all of those things come into play as you're going into the tourism season. Those are strong headwinds.
Right.
And it seemed like every week there was some sort of weather incident, more flooding that was just another challenge. So things were tough moving into the summer. And we looked at our target markets, I-29 being closed, Iowa, Nebraska. I was just on I-29 a couple weeks ago. I still can't believe the amount of damage all the way down to Missouri. And so schools that normally would have gotten out at a certain date were extending because of the weather. And so just all of those things. So with that being said, challenging summer, but we're seeing a mixed bag at this point in time. So our national parks down in terms of visitation, our state parks down in terms of visitation. On the other hand, the number of hotel rooms sold this summer is up almost 5% over last year. National growth is about 2.1%, so we're double what the nation is seeing in terms of number of hotel rooms sold. The state tourism tax is up about 2.5%. We're seeing triple B taxes locally up. But then you turn the page and you're saying, okay, now we see these indicators being down. So visitor spending is up. Visitation is down, I would say, but we don't know that for a fact. So our in-depth analysis will start here literally in about 3 weeks, and that'll take us up until about the first week in January to complete. So I think we're having a strong end to the summer. Like you said, even the Black Hills were incredibly busy this weekend. I was in the southeast corner of the state. Things were busy, so that's good to see. Last year, a strong fall shoulder season, especially with pheasant hunting, really put us into record-setting territory. And we were about flat moving into the pheasant hunting season and the fall shoulder season. So there's still a lot of time for us to end on a really high note. But yeah, with that being said, it definitely has been a different summer, not one we expected, but we're not alone. I've talked to my colleagues in states surrounding us. They too have been struggling a bit.
And you're making adjustments as you go through that, as you sort of see that those things are happening and you look at the data. And then as a department, you're saying, I think we can do a little more of this or a little less of that.
Yeah, constantly looking at how our market's performing. Nebraska's, that's a good market for us, but it was tough this year with all the flooding that they've had. So as we sense things are lagging, and we saw the numbers proving that out, we went back in to our target markets and added an additional $250,000 in supplemental advertising just to get top of mind for people. Like, don't forget about us. And it's competitive out there. I mean, we're competing against 10 other states and maybe 10 other cities in these same markets, but it helps. I mean, it helps with technology and data to be able to see in real time, okay, how are things performing and where do we need to shore ourselves up a bit?
We were talking in previous conversations last week on In the Moment, and one of those conversations was about international trade and some of the efforts to bring in new trading partners directly to South Dakota, lawmakers saying, come visit. So it seems to me that as we lay this foundation for being welcoming and open to visitors, it's not just the families that are bringing their kids, through to ride bikes on the Mikkelsen Trail.
Right.
It also might be somebody from Indonesia who's looking for soybeans.
Absolutely.
Now.
Yeah. So, I think we don't often stop to appreciate how many international visitors are coming to our state. I can tell you a story 2 years ago. A good friend of mine is in Paris. He's a travel editor. He said, do you think we'll see any French when we're here out in the Black Hills? And I said, well, probably. We get to Mount Rushmore, and wouldn't you know, literally every other person was from France. And so, but it's interesting to look at even how the state of the world is affecting international travel. The trade and tariff war with China is definitely affecting Chinese tourism to the United States. That's dropped precipitously. And those Chinese visitors, when they come, they spend, 4 to 5 weeks. They're spending on average $6,000-$7,000 per visitor. But we're also seeing the strong dollar is also working against us in terms of European visitors as well. So from the UK, Germany, France, et cetera. So, there's a lot of challenges out there. We don't have a huge budget to reach the international market, but we're very strategic about the markets that we're in and the message that is being sent. In fact, I've got three team members this week in London for what's called Brand USA's Travel Week. It is a huge USA travel show. We're going to be meeting with 48 top tour operators from the United Kingdom, operators we have never met before, who have never given us a look, and these are the top tier. We're meeting with a number of media. We're hosting a media reception on Friday, along with Wyoming and North Dakota, with top tier journalists. So, yeah, we're just out there globally just trying to attract everyone we possibly can and tell them the South Dakota story. And I can tell you this, once they get here, they are blown away. They just, they're like, South Dakota? Well, yeah, maybe. Hey, come out and give us a chance. Just and when they do, Lori, it is spectacular.
They build those life. It's less transactional and more relational.
Absolutely.
At that point,
no question. And we maintain those relationships, especially with tour operators and journalists. So it's not a one and done. We maintain those relationships literally for decades, because the influence that they also have on consumers in their home country is immense.
Are people looking for, and are South Dakotans responding to this sort of shift from, I want to visit the gift shop and get, a South Dakota trinket, to I want to, go rock climbing or hiking? Or I was noticing again in Custer, a new mountain wear kind of store. And
right.
We went in and talked to them, and I said, wow, we couldn't believe how many people wanted to buy shoes.
Yes.
And so we had to like really change and bring in a whole bunch of Chacos, because they got out here and they were like, I need shoes. I need shoes for the, Sunday Gulch Trail.
Totally. That's very perceptive of you. Literally 2 years ago, one of the niches that we have started to put a greater focus on is on our outdoors, whether it's on the western half of the state, the eastern half of the state, it doesn't matter. We have such great outdoor opportunities here. And one thing that we hear often from our domestic and our international guests is when they come to our state, they say, your outdoors are so accessible. You can get to some states and their trails, their mountains are just so large, so big, you can't access them really. But you have such great trails here and everything just seems within our grasp. And that's a huge bonus for us. And so we are definitely seeing an uptick in people wanting to get on their bikes, get on their motorcycles, hit the trails, rock climb, you name it, go horseback riding. There's so many different things that we can offer. So that doesn't surprise me. And you're going to see us continue to focus on that particular niche, because we've got great outdoors here from east to west.
Yeah. And just picking strawberries.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, as part of the agritourism focus that we have now too. Yeah, whether you're picking strawberries or going to an apple orchard or going to a corn maze or visiting a working farm, it doesn't matter.
Tell us a little bit about the arts and because that is also under your purview.
Yes.
And some exciting things happening there.
We're really excited. So one thing I will put a plug in for is at the Governor's Conference on Tourism this January in Pierre. And if you've not, for your listeners, if you've never attended our Governor's Conference on Tourism, it's grown to one of the largest in the country. Actually, is one of the most prestigious. We bring in fantastic speakers. One of our breakout sessions this year is going to feature Jim Spears from Arts South Dakota and Patrick Baker, who's Executive Director of the South Dakota Arts Council. And the session will be on how we can better incorporate the arts into tourism and tourism into the arts, because it's just a natural, right? And we do that already. It's happening organically, but that's something I really, really want to stress for everybody in the tourism industry and in the arts industry is let's work even more closely because when you're coming especially to this state, whether you're heading to one of our reservations and visiting with a Native American artist, or you're attending a powwow, or you're here in Sioux Falls at the Levitt Shell or at the Washington Pavilion or at Sculpture Walk or the Ark of Dreams, the arts are everywhere in this state, and not a lot of states can put their hat on that. But again, it's just one more area that we excel in. And so whether you're going to a municipal band concert in Aberdeen or a play at the Aberdeen Community Theater or wherever, the Black Hills Playhouse, there is just so much in the arts. And it's an exciting time for us. And that, again, that's a relationship that we really want to continue to grow and emphasize.
And
so,
if you've paid attention at all in this state over the years about arts, you hear this sense of, you know, we need to communicate and collaborate more often.
Right.
It's a little bit like herding cats.
Yes, yeah.
To get your artists together all moving in the same direction when it comes to that kind of communication. Jim Spears is probably the guy help make that actually
exactly.
happen.
Exactly, yeah. And he's just as excited.
Potential is what I'm getting at. I think we have a lot of room for growth.
A lot of room for growth. And one thing that Jim and I talked about recently is he really wants to get to all the regional tourism associations and attend their meetings. And people in the tourism industry need to do the same, whether it's a South Dakota Arts Council board meeting or a board meeting of Arts South Dakota or a local arts council. Get involved. Attend their meeting. Let them know they're important. They're important to the state as a whole. They're important to the tourism industry. So, yeah, it's just a natural relationship. And like I said, one we're just going to continue to focus on.
All right. What are you working on right now? This is a shoulder season time. What is this?
So,
right,
you know what
now?
We're working on? Starting in 2 weeks, we're laying our plans and finalizing our plans for 2020 already.
Wow.
So, for summer 2020. We're already looking at TV. You know, looking at concepts, looking at print, looking at our digital, looking at our social, looking at our out of home. So we'll actually be pretty much putting a lot of solid plans in place probably the second week in October for that. Gearing up for the governor's, or the Buffalo Roundup at Custer State Park.
Right.
And that'll be, you know, in just a few short weeks. So many things going. The Governor's Conference on Tourism, like I said, we have finishing touches on that, and that'll be in January, gearing up for the legislative session. So there's just a lot of good stuff going on. And this is a particularly fun time for tourism in South Dakota.
Right.
Pheasant hunting season's coming up, all the fall festivals that are going on.
Right.
There's just and the
Festival
changing of the colors.
Edward,
oh,
the
yeah,
colors
exactly.
Going to change in Spearfish Canyon.
There's just so much. So
Is there a Macy's Day Parade float?
Yes, we've got that. Yes, good. Yes, we've got the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade coming up. So we've been working with them. They're looking at talent right now. We don't know who that talent will be on our float, but finalizing plans for that. We have a great partnership with the Minnesota Vikings. So you'll see if you go to US Bank Stadium, lots of advertising running in that stadium promoting South Dakota, our leisure activities, our hunting activities. So never a dull moment. There's always something going on.
You're always learning something new.
Absolutely, and I love that.
Are you learning something new from the rest of the world? Are you learning something new from the people right here in South Dakota?
Both.
Both.
Yeah. I think, honestly, we were talking about this earlier before we came on the air, but I learned something. I'm sure I learned something new in this job every day. Honestly, it seems like, you know, there's some strategy, something I've learning about the state, a piece of history, or some little hidden gem I didn't know about. So, it's great. To be able to be in a position like that.
One of the things that I sort of came to realize for the first time is you pay more attention. After talking to you, I pay more attention to visitors, you know? Again, I was out traveling and, you know, you're at the restaurants and you kind of can pick out who's a visitor, who's a tourist.
Right.
And some of them are just exhausted. You know, there's that moment where you look and the kids are just getting, you know, it's 10 o'clock at night and they're still awake. They're a little tired. The bikers are sunburned.
Right.
You know, people are kind of, and it gave me this sense of humanity to just say, you know, my life is so easy because I live here and I'm not trying to squeeze in every wonderful thing about the state in a week.
Right.
So it made me feel kind of gifted and then also a little tender to what some
absolutely.
People go through when they're on vacation.
Exactly.
And then they all got on their motorcycles and their campers and they drove in front of me. And I thought, oh, well, I can be a little more patient because
right.
I know how exhausted they might be.
Absolutely.
It seemed like a good exhaustion, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
They spent it all here this week emotionally.
Totally. I tell you, yeah. I say this all the time, I'm a broken record, but every week I'm getting emails from visitors around the country who say, we just had no idea.
Right.
There was so much to see and do, and why did we only spend 3 days?
Right.
We should have spent a week, and we probably still couldn't have done it all in a week's time. So, boy, are we ever blessed to live here.
It's nice to have some good news after all the flooding.
And absolutely.
Difficult weather. Numbers are important, but it's that those experiences that are...
personal touch.
Yeah,
yep, right. Absolutely.
Jim Hagen, thanks. It's always a pleasure.
My pleasure. Thank you.